Avril Lehman's a leadership psychologist. Good morning, Avril.
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Do you think life's more stressful than it once was?
Well, I'm fascinated in a sense because I left the NHS in the 80s because we weren't doing enough about stress and we knew what a huge issue it was then. And my naive concept, which I still believe, is that if we had good leadership that was aware, that would go a long way to preventing work-related stress. So it's hard to tell because we were talking about millions of days lost to sickness because we know that stress is implicit in many allegedly physical illnesses. Nothing is only physical or psychological, but it certainly is a big component. You know, if you've got pain, you'll feel stressed. If you feel stressed, you're more likely to feel pain and so on. So it's an enormous issue. And I'm fascinated by how, in a sense, we're still talking about it, and if anything, it's got worse. And I think it's because people have learned vocabulary, they've learned to talk about stress, but they haven't changed behaviours. And that's the same at work. I work hugely in leadership. And let's face it, it's been a very macho culture. Many of the senior men I work with have never, ever been allowed to express an emotion from childhood up. So they don't have that developed emotional intelligence to say, oh gosh, it sounds like you're having a hard time. So getting them in touch with fundamental psychology is a commercial imperative as well as a human one. You get more work done if people are happy and well-treated and don't need to experience stress. And I would put it that way around. So
in terms of our response to that, I mean, it's interesting that you say that perhaps we're able more to articulate our stresses and our feelings of pressure, and as Julie was saying that too, but have we learned to cope with them any better?
No. I think there's almost been a license to go around going, oh, I'm so stressed. Well, my straightforward is, well, what are you going to do about it then? And that's not to take away from those times, and I've certainly had them in my life, where you've been hit with 53 life events. But even then, there's a capacity for not being stressed. And this is often not related to your income or, you know, we always think of the people who are lower income and have more stress going on. But you can be at any stage in your life and you can react with stress when it's actually not appropriate. And you can learn to be calmer, to check the, you know, the thing that drives me mad is people saying, I'm worrying about this. Well, that's great. Shall I worry about it too? Because how will that help? You know, it's a wee bit like going into a bank, you don't have any money in and saying, you let me pay you interest because one day I'll owe you money. Well, we wouldn't dream of doing that. But we do all this worrying rather than working out how to plan and cope. And I think cognitive behavioural psychology has a huge capacity to help people. But frankly, because I think powers that be don't really necessarily believe in the psychological either, we don't pour the resources into having excellent services to help people not just get over this event, but work out how to build their resilience. And I would just say, as advice to people on the at the moment, build your model of resilience.
What does that mean, Avril? I mean, did you build your model of resilience?
Well, I don't do worry and I don't do stress. I do a dead practical. It's maybe a lack of imagination, but dead practical. What am I going to do to get out of this? So when we start to go, oh, what if this will happen? Well, you know, maybe it won't. Let's just plan for it not to happen. So there's the whole mental piece. But there's also, who are your resources? You might not be lucky enough to have a great and supportive family. Well, build your own. I think it's Val McDermott who says, you've got your biological family and then you've got your logical family. Build your logical family, the people that you can have a moan at, the people who will tell you to stop it and get on with life. You know, we so often, women especially, feel guilty because we don't have time to see our friends. And that just makes it more stressful rather than remembering that even if we're knackered, going out with the girlfriends and moaning about stuff is actually really great support. So look at what are the supports in your life. And if you don't have enough, you have to build it in. And that's what I mean by a kind of model of resilience. For me, getting out in the park at a ridiculously early hour of the morning when the sun is shining the day can only get better after that. Somebody else might turn over in bed and say she's an idiot, but it works for me.
So if you're saying that individuals can find coping strategies, you know, need to be more proactive, then is it the job of an employer to deal with it if they don't?
I think it's got to be, like most things, multifactorial. We've all got to look at what it is in our culture of work that is perhaps stressing people. Because you know what? It's impacting on the business as well. So there's something in it for everybody. If you treat people well at work and give them a sense of accomplishment, meaning, good relationships, recognition for what you do, you know, we can cope with an awful lot in our life.
Yeah, but Avril, you might get an employer that does that. Kelly's employer, who's fantastic, might do all of that. But somebody might have something else going on in their life, which is utterly non-work related, which is causing them to have stress. Is it up to that employer to deal with that too? If they've created what they see as the most positive and supportive environment they can, do they also have to deal with other stuff going on in your life?
Well, you know, you employ people, not machines. And, you know, it's part of the human condition that there will be life events. There will be, you know, bereavements. There will be all of these things. I think, you know, any leader or organisation who recognises the talent that they've employed and wants to support them will know that this could be just a blip. And if they can be supportive and perhaps point in the direction of specialists who can be more useful or have some of those resources. I mean, we don't have things like welfare like we used to have in many organisations. I feel greater emotional intelligence at all levels would go a long way, but at the moment, leaders are much more likely to kind of send them to HR, and HR won't want to contact them because that might be putting pressure, that might be against the law or nonsense like that. So I think our organisations, maybe risk of being, you know, of litigation means that they don't do anything because they don't want to put any other pressure on somebody, which means they don't even call you if you're off sick because, oh, that might imply I'm wanting them to come back rather than, no, it implies I'm a human being who gives a hoot. You know?
Yeah, let's talk human. Avril, thank you very much indeed. Avril Lehman there, a leadership psychologist.